the way and the works of Cain. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Jude 1, verse 11. Man's exaggerated assessment of humankind is that he's born with moral qualities, qualities that can be worked on and improved, which will be acceptable to God. Religious man's inflated opinion is that he is intrinsically good and can only improve. And the more he does for God, the more acceptable he will be in God's eyes. Nothing is more important to a believer than to grasp God's view of fallen man. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. They are altogether become filthy. The fall of Adam, humanity's federal head, from innocence to death, was cataclysmic. Born in Adam, the first man, the human race inherits sin, disobedience, and death. Born again in Christ, the second man, a believer, inherits righteousness, obedience, and life. Paul describes the whole human race as comprehended under one of two heads. Either the federal head of the old creation, Adam, the first man, the first Adam, or the federal head of the new creation, Christ, the second man, the last Adam. Therefore, every human being is either in Adam or in Christ. There is no alternative. Every member of the human race is initially under the headship of the first Adam. All humanity starts their life on earth, dead in trespasses and sins. Only those born again of the Spirit are placed under the headship of the last Adam. The means whereby we derive our fallen nature from the first man is natural birth. By human parentage, we immediately partake of the former sinful nature. A newborn baby, incapable of Adam's initial fall, instantly partakes of his sinful nature. The mode of acquiring a new redeemed nature from the second man is spiritual birth. And Jesus told Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." By the simple act of being born again, we instantly partake of the latter's holy nature. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. A newborn, regenerated child of God instantly partakes of Christ's perfect nature. Cain and Abel were equally of the flesh. Both inherited sin and death from Adam. But one was rejected and one was accepted. Why? Why? Why the difference? The difference was not in themselves. The difference was not in their characters. It was not in their heredity, nor was it in their circumstances. The difference was in their sacrifice and their approach to a holy God. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and by the sacrifice he offered, he obtained witness that he was righteous. Cain offered Jehovah the fruit of a cursed earth, presenting an unblooded sacrifice. Cain hadn't learnt the lesson of the blooded coats that covered his sinful parents. The cardinal truth is that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Cain offered no bloodlet, sacrificed life to meet the holy requirements of God. He presumed God could accept sin-stained fruit sacrifices from a God-cursed earth. Oh, never. For an unblooded sacrifice is the highest degree of man's presumption. Cain demonstrated the ignorance or rebellion of a religious-minded man, that God will accept the labour of his hands and the sweat of his brow. Never. God teaches salvation is through the shedding of blood, as he taught Adam in the garden, through the blooded skins of innocent animals. Faith believes that without a blood-spilt sacrifice, there can be no approach to God. None. Jesus demonstrated a sinless life. He spent his whole life in service and good deeds. But naught but his blood and spilling of his sinless blood caused the temple veil to be rent in two. Had Christ lived 2,000 years, his combined good works could not recompense for sin. Salvation is through the shedding of blood. Can a sinner's toil remove the curse and stain of an infinitely holy God? No. Can human works furnish a proper ground of acceptance for a sinner? No. Can it set aside the death penalty, which was due sin and demanded by God? No. Can it rob death of its sting and the grave of its victory? No. Never. Every unbloody sacrifice is not only worthless, but an abomination to the Lord. It demonstrates ignorance of one's stained condition and ignorance of the divine character. Cain worship has abounded through the religions of the world, and millions follow. Cain's example has been adopted by unregenerate man and carnal believers alike. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain. Those that make God the receiver rather than the giver follow Cain's fleshly offering. God is not worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath to all things, as we read in Acts 17:25. You see, Cain worship is self-effort and self-worship, and self-effort attempts to appease an angry God. The fleshly, carnal, egotistical self thinks man can draw close to God, but self-denial through the bloody sacrifice of Christ's death is the only way. Praise and worship and grateful thanks is all that man can offer to God. But this can only be offered in full and clear intelligence that our sins are put away. And this can only be known by faith in virtue of Christ's accomplished atonement.